The NFL draft has come and gone. The Jets get their offensive lineman. They get their receiver. They get their developmental quarterback. We'll dive into all the Jets draft picks and let you know how we feel about them. Also, Kaz reacts for the first time to the Zach Wilson trade. We react to JFM getting traded and respond to Sandwichgate and the criticism it might have received on Jets Twitter. You're going to want to stay tuned for all that as it's coming up next on a post-NFL draft edition of Gang's All Here from the New York Post.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What a bum. Look at the freaking scoreboard. You are not close.
You play to win the game.
Why can't the New York Jets ever have nice things?
You're a Jets fan. You guys have to earn this stuff. You're going to have to suffer through another few years.
And I don't mean to sound like the get off my lawn guy, but get off my freaking lawn with that. I forgot what it's like to win football games. I mean, you can't make it up with this team.
Happy Victory Monday, Jake.
Only for you guys would I do this.
Only on Gang's All Here. We love it.
With the 11th pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the New York Jets select Olu Fashanu, tackle, Penn State.
With the 65th pick in the 2024 Draft, the New York Jets select Malachi Corley, wide receiver out of Western Kentucky. Let's go, Jets!
The Jets, like the Patriots, have used every pick on offense, and they take Jordan Travis, who was just having a phenomenal season before suffering a terrible broken leg injury against North Alabama.
Welcome back to Gang's All Here, our New York Jets podcast from the New York Post. Jake Brown here alongside Jets beat writer for the Post, Brian Costello. You can get us on Twitter at Brian Kaz and at Jake Brown Radio. Well, Kaz, the draft has come and gone. I'm so glad. I'm so sick of mock drafts every week from every expert who's watched, you know, all 22s and film and people claiming to be experts. And I'm sure you're glad because I feel like now is the time to breathe a little bit because there's not a ton going on here. The Jets still have maybe some moves to make, but like the bulk of the roster is pretty much set. And this is like the Monday after the draft is like a refreshing time in this era, right?
Yeah, no, I don't think there's any more moves really coming, big moves for the Jets. There'll be some tinkering with the roster from here on out, but I think they're pretty much done with the big stuff. And yeah, we'll have rookie minicamp the end of this week. Then OTAs will come in like May 20th, 21st, somewhere around there. I think we're out there for OTAs. That's like 3-4 weeks, and then there's a real break until training camp.
Are you going to Aruba? Do you have any?
No big plans right now.
Trip to Hawaii. Yeah, so mini camp coming up. The Jets, a solid draft. We'll go through each pick in a second, but you know, a lot of critics giving them A-, B+. What did your grade end up being?
I don't do grades, Jake. Draft grades might be the stupidest thing, even stupider than mock drafts that we do in the media. You know, you can go back. I saw people tweeting Patrick Mahomes got a C- when the Chiefs drafted him. And I remember last year with the Lions, they got hammered for taking Jahmyr Gibbs and, you know, obviously worked out well for them. Nobody knows how this is going to work out, right? The teams don't know. Then they're the ones spending all the time and money on this. So nobody really knows. I kind of grade on logic, Jake, and does it make sense? Does this pick make sense? And I thought the Jets picks made sense to me for the most part. I think you could question, do you take two running backs? Maybe that's the only thing, but to me, that's pretty minor. You're talking fourth and fifth round when they were doing that. but they, I like, you know, we'll go pick by pick, but I liked the logic behind their moves, Jay. So I, that's how I would grade it. You know, how they'll work out, we'll find out in a few years, because you never really know.
On paper, the logic is great, but I agree. The two running backs was a bit of a question mark, but, you know, we'll talk about, maybe it's they don't think the highest of Izzy. Maybe they don't think Izzy is going to be that second guy behind Breece. So they said, let's get two more. And later in the draft, it's not like they're wasting picks in the fifth, sixth round on running backs. That's the time, a good time you can get them. Let's start with the trades, because, you know, in typical podcast fashion for me, this has happened several times. The exact minute I clicked publish in Megaphone on the podcast, Tom Pelissero sent out the tweet that Zach Wilson was traded to the Broncos. I mean, just unbelievable timing. I did, you know, re-record a quick open, a react to it, and I was singing, you know, Sister Act's Oh Happy Day. It was a happy day in Jets land that we won't have the nightmares of Zach Wilson. Quickly, you know, your thoughts on the pick swap, 7 for 6, and sending Zach to the Broncos.
The key to the Jets is $2.75 million, right? They needed to get somebody to take some of the money off of the Zach Wilson contract. I don't think they really cared what they got for him. And yeah, they swapped a 6th and a 7th. You know, they had to include a pick to get it done. That just shows you how low his value was. But they got somebody to take some of the money. And that, to me, was the key to the whole thing for them. They had to do it. I had written it. They had to move on. I said today was the day. If they didn't trade him by today, you cut him. So they got it done a week ago. You know, I give Joe Douglas credit for getting anything for Zach Wilson, because I think he's a really depreciated asset right now. And that's exactly what we just talked about. 3 years ago, people were singing the praises of that draft pick, and now he's getting traded. So you just never know how it's going to work out.
Do you think he competes with their new quarterback, Bo Nix? Does he compete with Jared Stidham? I'd be shocked if he beats him out, but it's a place for him to actually compete for a starting job if there ever is one.
Yeah, it's a good spot for him. Look, he's got talent. I don't see it. I don't think he's going to ever really be a successful quarterback in the NFL. That's my opinion. Sean Payton's offense is very hard to learn. So I think Jared Stidham probably has a leg up on both Zach and Bo Nix in terms of he's been there for a year, so he knows the offense. So my prediction would be Jared Stidham probably starts the season for them. Zach can throw the football, so there's going to be times where he might be able to wow some people and do something in training camp to impress them. But I just don't think the overall package is there.
All right, Jets fans, this is it. This is the last time we say Zach Wilson, hopefully.
Until they play Denver.
They don't play Denver this year, do they?
They do, yeah. Yeah.
Again?
I'm at life.
God, why do we keep playing the Broncos? I don't understand.
Well, because you're a similar level team.
I know.
Finish in the same spot as them.
It used to be different. You didn't play a team several years in a row.
Years ago, everyone, we play the Raiders every single year. Remember, they always played the Raiders. That's how it's been for a long time. You end up playing teams a lot.
Well, this year I'm fine with it, because Denver might not be very good. So this is the year you want to play the Broncos. But until they play him, and if he even plays for now, until next year, for a long time, this will be the last time we mention Zach Wilson, who goes to the Broncos.
And I got one more Wilson question for you, Jake.
All right. What?
How did you feel about the thank you, Zach?
That was the most, like, you sucked here and we did not like you. Thank you. Like, there wasn't a letter, nothing. Like, that is the ultimate sign. And usually there's a message, like, beyond that when a guy's here for 3 years. You know, there's been Mets who've been here a year who get a bigger thank you message than the Jets sent out. So that was the clear-cut sign that a lot of people in that building didn't like it.
There could be a video tribute when he comes back to MetLife. It'll be that throw against Tennessee, the run against Jacksonville, then the throw against Tennessee again, and the run against Jacksonville, right? Like, the highlights.
It'll make a YouTube short. It will not be longer than a minute. I guarantee that. And, you know, he'll have an old friend, or maybe they weren't friends, but teammates, in John Franklin Myers in Denver. Now, I think a lot of us were confused that the Jets only got a 6 cause, but I think the key here is Denver's eating all the money, and this was pretty much a dump of all that money that they owe JFM.
Yeah, this was a salary dump. You know, JFM's number was high. The cap number was over $16 million. The salary was $13 million this year. So the Jets had to get rid of that. Once they got Reddick, they knew that they had to get rid of that. Reddick's getting $15 million, I believe, this year. So that's a lot of money at that position. Yeah, I think ESPN had reported this, Jake, that there was a pick, a higher pick, but then the Jets traded it. So that was a pick that was going to be involved going to Denver. So they had to rework the whole deal basically on Saturday. And so, yeah, it's a 2026 sixth round pick. That was the part that kind of stunned me, was they couldn't get a pick next year before him. Like, it's 2 years down the road. I don't really know how that works with GMs, of like when they bring up like, oh, let's go deep into the future. But this was just, the Jets had to get rid of him because of the money. I would have liked to have seen them rework the contract here with JFM. I think he's a good football player. I think he's one of those glue guys. Yeah, he was popular in the locker room. Does a lot of the dirty work. Good against the run. You know, if I had a question right now, something about the Jets defense, it's how they're going to stop the run. They got a lot of quick rushers, but they don't have a lot of beef up on the line right now. But I think, yeah, this was, like you said, it was the money. They just needed somebody to take the contract, and he reworked his contract in Denver. JFM was one of the best players, Joe Douglas, one of the best moves, I should say, that Joe Douglas made in his time as GM. Like, that was something. They claimed him off of waivers when he was hurt in 2019. He didn't play that whole year, but he really became a player for them.
Yeah, that takes belief in a guy to claim while they're hurt, but they got him off the scrap heap. And then he earned his way into a monster contract. Like, he made himself set for life with that one contract.
Yeah.
And outside, you know, of a few frustrating late hit penalties that we'll always remember. Yeah, I think that's
big ones.
Some of the lasting memories. The overall impression, like you said, was a good guy. I got to talk to him, his agent, outside of classic Jake, a Mets game at Citi Field. He was at a tailgate before a Mets game last season, I believe, during training camp when they were filming Hard Knocks. So he was a great guy, great in the locker room. So he will be missed here. But, you know, that is a position of luxury for the Jets. They have other guys. And now, Kaz, I guess that leads, I don't know if luxury, it's good. Guys going to still have to step up, and Michael Clemens and Will McDonald. But they have guys there, and this is their chance, those young guys in McDonald and Clemens. Clemens was, you know, I feel like last year all he was known for was, you know, giving the FU to the fans in Cleveland, that video. He needs to actually play.
And fighting in the tunnel in Buffalo.
And fighting, yeah.
And hitting the referee on Black Friday.
He did a lot of hits off the field. Now we need to see more on it.
Yeah, I mean, look, Clemens is the guy to me that's the comp to JFM, right? Because Will McDonald's is a different player. He's more of an edge rusher. Like, JFM could slide inside. He was good against the run. They're going to need Clemens to really step into that role. And I thought Clemens had a disappointing 2023 season. I thought he was going to do more for them. Like you said, the memories are those kind of weird incidents that he had. So we'll see. We'll see if he can step in there and do it. There's going to be, you know, he's going to have a chance here. He's going to get an opportunity to show that he can do it.
Well, good luck to JFM in Denver. I guess I'll say good luck to Zach. I mean, hopefully he does better there than here, because can't get much worse. But, you know, at least for him, there won't be much pressure. All right, we talked about the trades. Let's go through the draft. With the 11th pick, the Jets, after trading down one spot, which I thought was fairly smart to move one spot, they didn't get a lot back. It takes really two or more spots in that place to get a lot of capital back. They got basically a couple picks to move one spot. And, you know, I think I'm curious if once Odunzie went off the board, their thought was, all right, we're going offensive lineman, so we don't need to take 10 here. We're not losing out on taking the quarterback the Vikings take. Did you like the logic? And I assume you like the 11th pick, Olufoshinu, as a Penn State grad yourself.
Yeah, I thought the logic of the trade was good, Jake. Like, obviously, the Jets weren't taking a quarterback. So I think they played the Denver, probably the Raiders maybe in there too, of like, oh, hey, Minnesota, if you really want a quarterback, you better come up here because, you know, Denver might jump you. And if we trade with Denver, your quarterback's not going to be there. And they, whatever you get, you get. Like, you get it. They had more picks than they did when they went into it. Yeah, I think if Odunze or Neighbors had been there, they'd be Jets right now. I think that was the way they were going to go. Once those guys were gone, they shifted to offensive line. I wouldn't criticize them if they had taken Brock Bowers. I think there's logic behind that. I do think there's logic behind this, too. We've talked about the offensive line injuries ad nauseum for the last couple of years. You're going to need him at some point. You know, Tyron Smith, Morgan Moses, both 33 years old, both recent injury histories, both on one-year contracts. So, you know, Tyron Smith is not going to be the long-term answer at left tackle. They have to hope that Fashanu is. And in terms of him as a player, we'll see. Like I said, I'll tell you in 3 years how he is as a player. They like him, you know, and he's a good pass blocker. That's all I've heard, is how good a pass blocker he is. Run blocking, I think, needs some work. But I think this is a good situation for him too, right? Because Tyron Smith is going to be on workload management schedule here, like he ain't going to practice a lot for the Jets. So that's going to lead to Olu getting a lot of reps in practice. And if they can stay healthy, like into the beginning of the season, he doesn't have to play right away. So he doesn't have that pressure of like, oh my God, what'd the first round pick do in week one? Like if he can watch for a little while, that would be really good for him. And just getting those non-pressure practice reps in there.
I think it's a great room for him to watch as well. He's got veterans in there, and he's also got Joe Tippmann and a guy who just played last year. So he can learn from Tippmann, hey, what'd you do your rookie year? You know, mini camp, you know, what should I do? And then he's got the veterans, like you said, in Moses and Simpson and Smith, who, you know, could teach him the way a little bit. I don't know how much Keith Carter will teach him the way. I mean, I'm surprised Keith Carter's still here after all the tweets from players ripping him. That was a big storyline in February or March, whenever that was. But he's got a lot of guys he can learn from. Like you said, no pressure to start this year. He's going to play because there will be injuries.
Yeah.
So he's going to get a chance. And then he is the guy of the future. Those guys, one-year deals, like you said, like next 2025, he's essentially a lock to start for this team.
Left tackle. Yeah, absolutely. And I think you're right. Like Tyron is going to teach him a lot. Moses will teach him a lot. Don't overlook Aaron Rodgers here in this situation too. Mm-hmm. Rodgers, that's like a huge benefit of having Aaron Rodgers on the team. He's been around. He's seen a lot. He's going to be able to help the young guys at every position on offense and defense. I remember that was one of the things that jumped out to me last year. I don't remember if it was OTAs or camp where he went over and talked to the defensive players. Like after the first teamers came out, instead of staying with the offense, he went over to the defensive side and he was talking with Sauce and other guys over there. And Tony Adams, I remember he had a conversation with him. And like, it was like the guy's seen everything. He's been in the NFL for so long. So he'll be able to help him as well.
Yeah. The O-line room looks a lot better. I wanted this Dustin Keller first round tight end dream to happen. But the realistic thing is you probably need an offensive lineman more. You just do with what this team's gone through. And it would have been nice. I will say it makes more sense that Bowers would have went to the Jets and the Raiders. I mean, the Raiders just got Michael Mayer, but I'm sure they'll put him in the slot as well. The fun pick of this draft comes, you know, Aaron Rodgers happy about this one. The 65th pick, the Jets in the third round, they move up. Receivers, I think more in this draft than many other drafts I've seen, guys, were flying off the board. Like through two rounds, I felt like it was like 12 receivers were gone already.
Yeah.
And their Jets are running out of guys to get, and they get Malachi Corley. Now, a lot of people didn't know about him, but any guy with the name Yak King is good in my book, Kaz. Western Kentucky set records and comparisons to Deebo Samuel and a gadget guy who could run my favorite play, the reverse. I need a Malachi Corley jersey.
Yeah, well, you talk about mock drafts, Jake. I had Corley going to the Jets last Wednesday in my mock draft. I got that one right.
That was your last mock, too, right?
Yeah, my last mock. I got him right.
Jets with
their round. Because, yeah, he made a lot of sense. Jets loved him. You know, they were trying to move up in the second round to get him, and they ended up moving up to the first pick in the third round to get him. But, yeah, you know, one thing I've heard, Jake, from coaches over the last, like, year or so is, like, they want the Jets' offense to play more like the Jets defense. And that what I mean by that is like with violence and aggression. And you watch this guy's highlights and that's how he plays. He runs people over. They love that. You know, I think he's limited in terms of his routes and stuff like that. That's why he's a third round pick. Rookie year is probably gonna be a lot of screens, a lot of short underneath passes, things like that. But Jets can live with that. They got Garrett Wilson and Mike Williams on the outside to do other stuff. So if this guy, Corley, can, you know, get the ball in his hands. He's like a running back once he gets the ball in his hands. And, you know, it could be an interesting piece on the Jets offense because when you looked at it, they really needed someone in the slot. You know, that's what when we were talking about Bowers, that was basically going to be his role was going to be slot. And now Corley will fill that role.
And I think it's important because Xavier Gibson is used as a kick returner, a punt returner. It's good to have another guy in that slot that can be a kind of gadget guy. Gibson kind of was that guy. But now you get an extra piece and set records at Western Kentucky, which I know doesn't mean a ton because it's Western Kentucky, but 29 touchdowns, almost 3,000 yards, 259 catches. Deebo Samuel is a hell of a comparison. Everyone was hyped to get him. Aaron Rodgers was texting him. Love this pick. Love them getting a receiver. The other argument is they probably maybe could have drafted another receiver. I know they signed one or two undrafted. They didn't draft a tight end. You could argue that maybe they miss out on there, but this wasn't a very tight end deep draft. So that's probably the reason for that. And then they stick with offense, with 134, getting a running back. Braylon Allen out of Wisconsin. So now he'll play behind Izzy, play behind Breece Hall, or maybe he'll play ahead of Izzy. We'll see. I'm curious how the Jets feel about Izzy. Like I said, taking two backs. But what stood out to me reading about him, Kaz, squatted 610 pounds. How many pounds can you squat?
Not that many. Not that many, that's for sure. Another guy like Corley, like what I just said, plays, you know, a big physical. I think he's 235 pounds. Physical guy. The criticism I've heard of him is people think he should be a little more physical with his size, and he doesn't always use his size. So maybe the Jets coaches can bring that out of him. But, you know, I think there's a lot of videos of him running over people as well. He'll bring a physicality to the offense. Yeah, Izzy, I know they didn't feel like Izzy last year had the pass blocking was the big critique you heard. We'll see if he can make a leap this year. But when you're talking about day three guys, Jake, whether it's Izzy or whether it's the guys we're talking about right now, they're lottery tickets, right? You're hoping you get something out of them, but you're prepared if it doesn't work out. Then that's something the Jets have really failed at in recent years. They haven't gotten a lot out of their day three picks. Michael Carter II is the best one, but they need to hit on some of these guys. That's the way you turn your team around quickly. Like you see a Puka Nacua or someone like that. That's the extreme, but that makes your team a lot better quickly.
And Allen, you hope hits on defenders. Like you said, you hope he truck sticks guys, and Corley brings kind of the gadget speed. Braylon bringing the stronger back. Like Breece is kind of a strong back, but you got to keep Breece healthy. Yeah. So you don't
Breece
really
does
want
it
him
all. Breece does it all. Like he's a good all around back, but yeah, he can't, you don't want him carrying the ball every down. So they need to find some other people there.
Yeah. And he benched 225. I can maybe do 90. I can do maybe a 45 on each side on a good day. 220. I didn't even know what this meant. He hang cleaned 405 pounds. Do you know what that means?
There's a video. Yeah, there's a video of it. Clean where you're holding the weight down and then you come up to your chest with it. Low. You're squatting down. You're starting to squat and you power clean up. Yeah. There's a video on Twitter, Jake, of him doing that. Yeah,
he's a strong dude. 405 pounds in high school as a sophomore. That is just
insanity. And that's the funny thing too about him, Jake, is he's 20 years old. He was the youngest guy in the draft, I think. And he graduated high school after his junior year. I think it was during COVID. And so they were virtual. And so he went to them and he combined his junior and senior year into 1 year. And so he was at Wisconsin when he was 17 years old. Yeah. So he's 20. So that's for all I know that's always a popular topic is ages of the draft picks. This guy's real young.
Yeah, I mean, he can't even legally drink. I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, 17 years old, I can't imagine doing a cake stand at Wisconsin at 17 years old, this kid. Of course he didn't, because he hasn't had one drink in his life yet, obviously, to his parents listening to the show right now. But
he probably hasn't if he's squatting 600 pounds and cleaning 4 pounds. I'm gonna doubt he's on the Jake Brown or Brian Costello diets at all. Here, he probably does not put many bad things in his body.
So you don't think he eats this coffee cake I had in Massachusetts yesterday, huh?
What is that?
It is a coffee cake. It was fantastic. Oh my God. I was up in Boston. That was delicious. He doesn't eat those. He eats a lot of lettuce and greens and pre-workouts and all that. And then the string of three Jets draft picks. I love the Jordan Travis pick. Now, listen, he's probably not going to touch the field this year. Who knows when he's going to be back from that gruesome left ankle fracture. But we're talking about a Heisman candidate here that the Jets get at 171. He's a winner. The guy just won at Florida State. And I think as your developmental quarterback, you were looking to get a developmental guy at this part of the draft to basically replace Mr. Wilson, who I'm not going to say his name anymore. I said it a final time, but he's your third stringer. And I thought this was a solid pick. You had to get one of these developmental guys. And maybe, just maybe, after 2 or 3 years, he's your quarterback of the future.
Yeah, again, lottery ticket, Jake, right? And this guy, why is a player in the fourth round? Well, his is the injury. I think he'd be a lot, or was he fifth round? Fifth round with the Jets.
Fifth round, yeah.
Why is he in the fifth round? The injury knocked him down. He probably would have been higher without the injury. I don't think he would have been a first round pick, but maybe a day two pick without that injury. And yeah, we'll see. Like, you know, what you laid out, if he's starting in 3 years, that's you hit the Mega Millions if you find a guy in day three that. But if he becomes a backup, strong backup for them, like a Mike White type of situation, you know, that's also a win. So he'll get a chance with Tyrod Taylor and Aaron Rodgers. Like, that's a lot of knowledge in that room. So they'll be able to teach him how to be a pro for sure. And, you know, the question with him is when he can get on the field. They sounded like even iffy about training camp with him the other night when they talked to us. So it's really not completely clear what happened with his injury, Jake. You know, college, it's always murky. We said like broken legs, other people said broken ankle, but it was a serious injury. So we'll see when he can get on the field.
Yeah, and I'm sure the Jets guys end up signing another veteran quarterback, at least for the start of the season.
Not a veteran, Jake. I think they would start they'll sign probably an undrafted guy or somebody like that.
Yeah, well, someone gets cut in training camp and they get someone for the practice squad. We'll see who's out there then. But quarterback room looks pretty solid. And yeah, like you said, learning from those two guys, that's 30-plus years of football experience he gets to learn from. So good looks in Jordan Travis. And then another running back. This is the one pick you're like, do they need another powerful back? 46 games over 4 years, was a freshman All-American at South Dakota State. What do you know about Isaiah Davis at 173?
Yeah, not a whole lot, Jake. You know, obviously South Dakota State, a winning program, national champions. I think they were 29-1, but he seems like he could do a lot all around. I think it's going to be interesting to watch these guys once we get to training camp. You know, OTAs is basically nothing right now. It's glorified passing camp. So, but I'm curious to see these guys once training camp starts and once the preseason game starts to see how it breaks down and who comes out of that room. I think with Izzy and Allen and Davis, it's going to be an interesting competition there to see.
One of them's going to get cut.
Probably. Yeah. I mean, they could end up on the practice squad, but you're not going to carry four running backs probably. So, it'll be interesting to see how that shakes out. And I think that's going to be something we're following through the preseason.
Yeah. And listen, I don't mind that they keep going offense. They said offense, offense, offense.
Yeah, five offensive picks to start the draft.
Yeah, that does not happen in Jets history. Well, I feel like there's always at least multiple defensive players.
I was thinking about this, Jake, because I feel like we forget stuff pretty quickly. But you remember between Mark Sanchez and Sam Darnold, every first round pick was defense. Remember? That was like a story for a long time as we were going, are they ever going to take an offensive player? Like, they took Kyle Wilson, Muhammad Wilkerson, Quentin Coples, D. Milner, Sheldon Richardson, Calvin Pryor, Leonard Williams, Darren Lee, Jamal Adams. And then they took Sam in 2018. So that was all defense. And I remember that was always a huge topic of conversation at that time around the draft was, is this the year the Jets finally go offense? Well, this year they took five players on offense to start. I made a little joke today that you remove the D from Douglas. You know, it was Joe Uglis was this draft because there was no D involved.
Yeah, and a lot of those picks have given us nightmares. They've been on the back page for a few of the right, more of the wrong reasons.
Here in New York. Sorry for that list, Jake.
Yeah, one of them being the phony and Jamal. Coples.
Jamal was a good football player, though. There's guys who were on that list who were not good football players.
Yeah, Coples and Milner stand out as the two that were not very good.
Darren Lee was a rough one.
Darren Lee was bad as well. Yeah, we could do a whole podcast on bad draft picks.
Kyle Wilson,
Steven Stonehands Hill, if we want to look at the offensive side. They went defense finally a couple of picks later with really one of the feel good stories of the draft in quarterback Quantez Stiggers. He's the third player to be drafted ever without having attended college. He's the first CFL player with no college experience to be drafted. Essentially, he was going to go to college. His father passed away. He took a couple of years off to address his mental health, played semi-pro in that fan-run league. Then he went to the CFL, and he killed it in the CFL. He's named the most outstanding rookie. I think he had five interceptions. And now he joins a crowded cornerback room, but a room he can learn from, and also a guy who can be a great special teams player. This is a kind of story in a player, a guy who has dealt with it all in his life. He has a chip on his shoulder, and I like this pick at 176. I think it's a cool story.
Great story. Really great story. I don't even remember fan-controlled football, Jake. Did I miss that?
It lasted very little. It was not long.
Yeah. I don't remember that, but a great story. And, you know, the Jets, they do a great job with the videos of the calls to the draft picks. And I thought this one was a really telling one Jeff Ulbrich basically was on the verge of tears talking to him. And then they had the head of security, Bobby Mastrodi, who also was basically breaking down talking to him. So you could tell that he had a great effect on the building when he was there, the people he talked to and his story. And Joe Douglas hit on it the other day. Like, most people that age have not been through what he's been through in his life. The guy was working at Walmart. The guy was delivering DoorDash, and now he's in the NFL. Like, that's freaking crazy. And it's an awesome, awesome story. And, you know, we talked to him on a conference call, and he seemed very genuine, very excited. You know, you can't imagine. He probably thought his NFL dreams were over a few years ago, and now here he is. So cool story. And yeah, this time of the draft, Jake, I'm thinking special teams, and quarterbacks can usually play special teams. So we'll see how he does when he comes in. I wouldn't expect him to have a role defensively early on, but you know, he can come in and play specials. And I feel like down they're moving guys around all over the place. I'm curious to see, do they think he's a safety? Do they think he's a nickel? Is he outside? Like where he ends up fitting? I feel like they always move guys around once they draft him.
Yeah, and he's essentially their fourth, maybe fifth cornerback right now. So if there is an injury or two, maybe he does get a chance. He's a depth piece, and you root for guys with a story like that. The Fan Control Football League, by the way, was 2021 and 2022. It was a 7-on-7 indoor league where basically fans would vote on play calls and other in-game events. Maybe this is why it didn't last very long.
Jake's favorite team ran a lot of reverses.
Double reverse screen, do it all in one play. Made up plays.
It's third and 10 on our own 10. We can't run that.
QB sneak every time on third and two and fourth and one and all that. Players were paid weekly $400 before taxes plus room and board. So it wasn't exactly the Taj Mahal of football leagues.
Yeah.
So that's a cool story. So shout out to Stiggers, the Jets. Cool story of the draft. And I'm sure we'll see plenty of that on One Jets Drive. I'm sure that'll be featured heavily. And then with the last pick, Mr. Irrelevant. And you always feel bad for the guy because they like really do it up with Mr. Irrelevant. They have a whole jersey and it's like, this guy's trying to be relevant. I get the nickname, but I always kind of feel bad for that player. But he did go to Alabama after 4 years at University of Alabama at Birmingham. So he went from Birmingham to Tuscaloosa, and he is the final pick. He started 12 games in his last year there at Alabama. He joins a pretty crowded, you know, safety room with Chuck Clark, Tony Adams, and Ashton Davis. But what do you know, if anything, about Jalen Keith?
Yeah, you know, again, this is special teams. He's going to have to make his mark on special teams to make the team. I get it. I think the Mr. Irrelevant thing is kind of fun, though, Jake. He gets celebrated. Like, the guy who gets picked 256, he's really irrelevant, that's right? True. Nobody knows who he is. This guy gets celebrated. He gets a trip to California, I believe, as part of being Mr. Irrelevant.
Oh, they do? Oh,
yeah, damn. I think they fly him out to California. So, I think Mr. Irrelevant is kind of cool, and you have that the rest of your life. Like, that's you kind of – it's – distinguished rather than all those other seventh round picks that nobody really pays attention to. Obviously he has his work cut out for him. He's essentially, you know, maybe has a little bit of a leg up on the undrafted free agents, but he's essentially an undrafted free agent, and he's going to have to come in here and win a job on special teams for sure.
What, do they go to Disneyland? Is that the trip to California?
I don't know where they go, but I think they go to California. I'm pretty sure they do, Mr. Irrelevant. You can look that up.
Yeah. Not as bad as I thought. That's not a bad deal. So that is the Jets draft. Anything of note? Do you know anything about any of the guys from undrafted free agents that they signed?
Anyone defensive tackle they signed, Davis, he was rated highly. He's going to be one to watch, but we got to see them in the summer and see who stands out. You know, they're all kind of grouped together at this point.
Yeah. They did get a receiver out of Miami, Tyler Harrell. So they do get a receiver. I believe they did get a tight end as well. So you never know with those guys. Maybe a flyer, one of them.
They've hit though. Like, look, Tony Adams, they hit on. Obviously, Gibson and Brownlee, they hit on last year. So, Bryce Huff's the ultimate example here, under this regime, under Douglas. But you can find a player. Snacks back in the day. Obviously, Kerbet back in the day, right? So you can find players in this, but we don't really know. August rolls around who stands out from that group.
Yeah, maybe one of them becomes one of the training camp darlings, which won't be on Hard Knocks, but we'll see it on One Jets Drive. One Jets draft pick after the draft, Kaz, who we knew was gone and going elsewhere, Mekhi Becton. How do you feel about him going to the Eagles for 1 year, $5.5 million?
I think it's a good, well, $5.5 million is what he can earn. I think when we get the real contract, it's probably $2 million. It's up to $5.5 million, which is a key phrase. I think it's a good spot for him. Jeff Stoutland's a great offensive line coach. So, they're not going to be counting on him to play. He's going to be the backup tackle there. So we'll see if he can get anything out of his career. You know, there's been flashes with Mekhi, particularly his rookie year. But it's really just, you know, the injuries hurt him and he didn't play very well last year. And that's why he's now a backup tackle. That's getting him, I'm going to guess it's going to be the league minimum when we see the actual contract. You know, so we'll see if he can put his career back together with Stoutland there.
Yeah, well, good for him going to a team that will probably be a contender to maybe be in the running for a Super Bowl. So we'll see if he gets a chance. By the way, intern Dan lets us know, Mr. Irrelevant, it's a week-long series of events held in Newport Beach, California. Yeah. Mr. Irrelevant is the toast of an arrival party welcoming a town where NFL fans and the local community come out in force to cheer the player and shower him with gifts from businesses and patrons near. I love this now.
Yeah, that's better than going 256, Jake, right?
This is incredible. This party is followed with a week of fun for Mr. Irrelevant and his guest as they toured Disneyland, participate in media opportunities at the NFL Network in Los Angeles, visit the charity beneficiary selected for that year, participate in sailing regatta. I don't even know what that is. Sounds like a Italian dish. In world's famous Newport Harbor and attend a Major League Baseball game, either Dodgers or Angels. Oh, I wonder what he's going to pick to receive special recognition. The Mr. Irrelevant trip. This guy's the king of California for a week.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I think it's a good deal. It's a good deal being Mr. Irrelevant.
Yeah, maybe hang out with Ohtani and at a Dodgers game. Cut a few parlays before the game with Ohtani. Boom, had to do it. How about that? What a job for Jalen Key. Gets the key to California. That's it. That's the draft. It's over. We're done with it. After all the tweets you had to get about the sandwich gate, cause that got a lot of backlash. I'm sure you saw it.
I didn't. I didn't, Jake. I don't look at Twitter.
You didn't get text about it?
I got text about it. Yeah, from people. Yeah. But like, just people. People were texting me like, you know, about it. So I saw text, but I didn't see any of the tweets. So, but I have replies. I can only see replies from people who what is it? I follow. I think. Something like that.
I was surprised how much hate it got. It was just bad. And then what can you do? That's Twitter.
That's Twitter, Jake.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, I will say this. I was not criticizing the guy who sent the sandwich. I think that got twisted. I criticized the Jets for just how much they leaned into it. So I thought it was funny that the guy sent the sandwich. Like that was not the part I had an issue with. I had an issue with the Jets kind of how much they played it up. So I don't know, because I don't know if that was taken that way, of that I criticized the guy who sent the sandwich, because that was a funny move by him.
Yeah. All right. There you go. Shout out to Matt sending the sandwich, getting the love. I like that you did reply to Connor with, you need to be more serious, when he said, is this payback for guys trashing the sandwich tweet? So you did have some fun.
Like, and the other thing is, like, I don't really care about this. Like, people are like, you asked me about it. You brought it up. So I said it. But it's not like I feel passionately about this. If I did, I would be writing it for the paper, right? Like, someone called it a take. And I'm like, a take? I'm like, I was answering a question. I'm like, if I have a take, I'll put it in the newspaper. So I did not feel that passionately about this. I just answered a question.
Yeah, the other rebuttal was, hey, the Post was writing stories about it. Those weren't your stories. So, you know, they aggregate news that comes out there. So.
Yeah, I don't control what goes on the Post website. I think when we interviewed Mike Williams, I probably put it in the story, though, because it was news at that point. I wouldn't ignore it. But I didn't write the stories about it. That's there's plenty of things that are on the Post website and in the newspaper that I have absolutely zero control over. Basically, only thing I have control over is what's under my name, and sometimes that's not even the case. So,
especially on the front cover, a lot of things you don't have control over. You can do a whole podcast series on that as well. But Matt, there you go. He gave you love for sending the sandwich, so you got love for that.
I will say this too.
Uber Eats is expensive too.
I think I said this on the show the last time. I absolutely love Taylor ham and cheese sandwiches. So I don't get the egg. I'm not an egg guy, but. Taylor ham and cheese is in my top five foods that I would eat. So
that is baffling, though. What is your beef with eggs?
I don't like eggs.
But you're not allergic. You just don't like them.
No, I just don't like them.
Because I found out my nephew's allergic to eggs, which is so sad for his life that he can't have anything. Think of all the things that have eggs in it. It's essentially everything.
As an ingredient, that's tough. Yeah, because like obviously I eat plenty of things that have eggs as an ingredient in them, but I just don't eat eggs themselves.
Interesting. Yeah. All right. So there it is. That is it. We will be back hopefully next season. Stay tuned to find out. Listen, I hope we are. I think fans have enjoyed listening to the show, being a part of it. It's been fun to commiserate, but you know, if healthy, Kaz, on paper, and I know we always say this on paper, but if healthy, this is one of the better Jets teams on paper. It's better than last year. It's one of the best teams in a long time. And if Aaron actually does stay on the field, and listen, if something does happen, you actually have a reliable backup that's won games in the NFL. This could be a playoff team and beyond. And in a division that the Bills have regressed, the Dolphins will be good, the Patriots stink, but Jets will be in the running for a division title if everything goes right.
I mean, on paper, their offense is much better, Jake. Right? I think the offensive line, what they've done there, should be better. I think Mike Williams, if he's healthy, is better than what they've had. We'll see what they get out of Corley. Brees, another year removed from ACL. I think that's huge to be a second year. And he played well 1 year removed from ACL surgery. So I think he'll have a big year. And then, but the key is number 8. They got to keep him on the field. They got to keep him upright. He should be able to make everyone on that offense better. You know, for years and years and years and years now, the defense has been at one level and the offense has been another, and they need that offense to catch up to the defense. And it's been since 2015, they haven't had an offense. I think I just looked this up yesterday, Jake, that was above 25 in yards per game, so that's pretty incredible. And so they can have a top 10 offense. And even if the defense, I think the defense could take a little step back. I think losing Huff and losing JFM is big. And I also just think it's hard to stay at that level for year after year after year. But if they take a little step back, and I'm talking they're the number 8 defense instead of number 4 or something like that, you got a team, you got a team. So this could be an exciting year.
There it is. I'm so pumped up. I think right now in New York sports, everything is at a high. The Knicks, the Rangers, even the Mets are playing decent ball. The Yankees are in first place. It's a good time, and I think the Jets could really continue that path of good vibes if everything goes right. I did not think when I saw Jets-Giants preseason, when I saw Aaron Rodgers, I believe, throw a touchdown to Garrett Wilson in that Jets-Giants preseason game, that would be the only Aaron Rodgers touchdown pass I'd see. I did not think August that would be happening, and it was. So I'd like to see one in September, October, November, December, and hopefully several.
He hasn't completed a pass yet as a Jet officially.
Was he? Oh, yeah. Well, they ran it a few times, and he was, what, 0-for-1 maybe?
They ran it to Brees. And then he had a couple incompletions, and there was a penalty on one play, and then he was sacked. Yeah. So, that's part. Like, people sometimes ask me about, his off the field stuff and things he says, and like, you think that's a problem? It's not a problem if he's throwing touchdown passes. It's only a problem when that's the only thing about him that you're hearing. And, so they need to get some of the, what they want out of Aaron to this fall and get him completing some touchdown passes.
Yeah, he's made every headline imaginable but football one. So let's see some touchdowns, and we're looking forward to training camp. Kaz, enjoy the next few months a little bit easier. We'll talk to you hopefully come the end of the summer. It's a real sprinkle of summer today. It's 82 degrees outside.
I got a softball game tonight, Jake. The girls are going to be complaining how hot it is, like a week after they complained how cold it was. So
how many innings do you play?
Six.
Oh, God. That could be wild. How long do those last? Like 2 hours?
No. We're pretty good now. Our games are usually about hour 20, hour 30. Yeah.
They're using a pitch clock. Time
limit. There's a time limit. No new inning after hour 45. So the game, if we're in the – like, let's say we're in the fourth inning and it's an hour and 45 in, we wouldn't start the fifth inning.
I love it in baseball when I'm on TV, but when I'm at the Met game and the game's over, like, I sit in my seat, it's like the sixth inning, I'm like, where the hell did the game go? I don't like it in person, how quick it's going.
They go fast now. Yeah, I can imagine that. Quick. When you go to the stadium, that wouldn't be fun.
Yeah, I think it's definitely helped. I think it's better for viewership, but just when I'm there as a fan, it's a little frustrating how quick they end. All right, well, the Jets draft is over. We'll talk to you late August. We'll close out this episode of Gang's All Here next.
He's excited.
He's excited.
I already got a text. He's excited.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Great stuff there. Yeah, it is hot out today. I had to keep the AC on during the show, or I might have had a heat stroke, but a good finale, as that says adios to episode 179 of Gangs All Here, a Jets podcast from the New York Post. Thanks to the intern, Dan Shalom, for helping me in producing the show. If you want to catch up on all old episodes of the show, go to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, Amazon, wherever you get podcasts. Subscribe, give us a 5-star rating, write a nice review. If you're watching us or you're not watching us, make sure you do. On the New York Post Sports YouTube page, click subscribe. Give us that thumbs up below. Comment below. What'd you think of the Jets draft? Let us know your grade. Kaz is right. You don't know what these guys are, but on paper, I'd say a B+. I didn't like having two running backs. I thought they could have mixed it up, tight end or maybe even another receiver. Otherwise, I thought it was a great draft. I thought the cornerback story is great. You get your offensive lineman. You get the receiver you wanted. You get a developmental quarterback you wanted. It's hard to hate on this Jets draft with the picks that they had. And I'm fired up. You know, this season and this time for New York sports, the Jets have got to be good. This is the year. No more waiting. They got screwed. Obviously, health, you never know. But Aaron Rodgers, stay on the field. If Aaron Rodgers stays, we are in the makings of a historic year in New York sports. Everything looks good. The Yankees are in first place. The Mets are over 500. The Jets on paper look like a Super Bowl contender. The New York Knicks are up 3-1 on the crying Philadelphia 76ers and are one game away from round two. This hard-fought Knicks team that's playing for the city, playing like the city would love them to play, hard, gritty, in your face, don't make excuses. They're here, and the New York Rangers sweeping away a similar team. We are playing together. We don't quit. Sweeping away the Capitals. The Knicks fans took over Philly. The Rangers fans took over D.C., and New York sports is riding high, but the job ain't done yet. Keep going, Knicks. Keep going, Rangers. And Jets, when we see you in September, I want to see the best team in the AFC East. I want a division title. I want the playoffs, division title, and a deep playoff run. I'm tired of the excuses. Now's the time. Let's go, Jets. Clearly fired up here. That's enough out of me. Follow us on Twitter at Brian Kaz and at Jake Brown Radio. Hopefully we're back next season. Stay tuned. On Twitter, we'll keep you posted, but, you know, we're done until at least sometime in August. If we're back, it'll be in August. So this is a kind of the layover, the break, and then hopefully we're back to cover this team because I think there's all the makings of a special Jets team, and I hope we are a part of it. So thank you for listening to Gangs All Here. We'll catch you later in the summer. Enjoy your summer, everyone. We'll see if the Jets do anything else. But until then, thanks for listening and supporting the Gangs All Here podcast. Jake Brown here, signing out. Hags, have a great summer. Talk to you later.